Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she never looks into mirrors at night. And that all goes back to a conversation she overheard when she was just a child.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey there, it is Real Ghost Stories Online, and we really appreciate you listening, so thank you very much. If you are listening, and if you have a ghost story, we would love for you to share it with us. And you can do that a couple ways. Leave us a voicemail by calling 855-853-4802. You can always write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you'd like. Get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Hello, Kathy Gordon. How are you today?
Well, okay, I'm a little bit just kind of shaken.
Why?
And I don't... Okay, so yesterday morning, I'm out walking my dog. And you know how you're just kind of spacing off and whatever. And I thought about this man that I used to work with at Colby Community College. And he taught in the English department. And I taught in the art department, of course. And, you know, he was this kind of big, gruff guy, and he was a heavy smoker, so he had that kind of smoker's voice about him and stuff. And he was the quintessential English college professor, gruffy kind of guy, right? And he had, I believe it was three kids. They were kind of the same age as my kids, and so they were in my kids' classes and stuff. And he and I used to talk and chat a lot, and, you know, he was a colleague. I don't know why he crossed my mind yesterday, but I was thinking about the fact that when he was teaching there, he had a book published, and that book was called Crofton's Fire, and it was a book about it was a Civil War, but it was a fictional story about the Civil War. And I remembered really liking it when I read it. I bought a copy, he signed it for me, and I really liked it a lot. And at the time, I remember thinking, this would be a great movie. It was kind of one of those, you know, like Little Big Man, or at the time, they'd do these historical movies that were kind of funny and had a lot of humor in them. And this was kind of along that line, and I was thinking, you know, I need to get my hands on that book again and listen to it. And, or I say listen, thinking, I hope it's an audiobook, but if it's not, maybe I get it and read it again, because I do remember really liking that. And then I thought, you know, I should dig around on social media and see if I can find him. His name was Keith Copeland. So if you're interested in the books or whatever, I got on my Facebook page just, I don't know, 10 minutes before we started this. And somebody, his daughter posted he died yesterday.
Really? See, I don't think that's random, like, that you would have had that thought about him.
Well, I haven't years.
Right, and but to me, that's all...
I'm thinking about him and thinking about the book. And the whole way I'm walking, I'm thinking about it, and I should get my hands on that again because I really remembered liking it. I'd like to read it again. And then I thought, you know, I should get in touch with him, just say hi, hope everything. And he passed away, like yesterday, or maybe it doesn't say the date he passed away, but I assume it was very, you know, recently, the way it's written on there.
She just posted yesterday. It's pretty recent.
Yeah. But I thought, you know.
I don't think that's coincidental by any means. I think that it's kind of like, I don't know how you know stuff like that, how you get those little feelings.
And I get them, you know, and I always say that, you know, when you think of somebody, there's a reason you're thinking about, you know, like especially these out of the blue people, right? And you think about that person back in high school or that person here or a teacher you had or something, and you go, why is it they're crossing your mind? Maybe if they are, you need to reach out and just say, hey, been thinking about you, hope you're well, you know, or whatever. And so I was thinking about actually doing that. And he must have died about the same time-ish. I just thought that was odd.
Interesting. It's his little way of, like, leaving this earth and
saying goodbye to me.
And touching the people he cared about.
Yeah, it was weird.
It is weird. I don't know how that sort of thing happens, but you know, we hear about it all the time. But I think if people go with that little feeling they have so often, there's a reason why he popped into your head.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. You know? And he really popped into my head. Like, I'm thinking about the books and thinking about things and, you know, stuff. And he did leave a very interesting life. He wrote two other books, and he also had articles published in like the New Yorker and Playboy and I think the Atlantic or whatever. I mean, you know, he actually was a good writer. But anyway,
that touched my heart.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to our first caller of the day.
Hi, guys. This is Sue from Springfield, Illinois. That I've gone through. I'm a child of the 60s. I was born in 61. And a little tiny background, as I was growing up, I was the kid that received for birthday gifts the Magic 8 Ball, the Gypsy Witch tarot fortune telling cards, and the Ouija board. Interestingly enough, when those gifts that I received, I had never asked for, nor did I know what they were used for. And they were given to me by an aunt that lived in a town that I don't even know that they had those type of items to even purchase to give as gifts. So I always thought it was very interesting that those type of tools or whatever you want to call them, they were given to me, whether I asked for them or not. I've had a lot of paranormal experiences, good and bad, a lot of really wonderful things. I've had interesting things happen through my life. I lost a son in Afghanistan and my husband 2 years later, and have been contacted by them from the other side. However, the story to tell tonight is one about shadow people and mirrors. I hear that a lot on your podcast, and how you don't purchase antique mirrors. This story relates back to, as a small child, I would see shadow people. I didn't know what they were at the time. I would play in our garage, which my dad built, and it was like a 2.5-car garage. And back in the 60s, this is probably 63, 64, it was unusual to have that big of a garage. And he had done that because he had put a office in our garage. Our garage double doors had windows in them, and I loved Barbie and would sit up during rainy days, or if it was cold out in fall or early spring, I would just set up a whole town in the garage and play. And I would get at times where I felt like I was being watched, and I'd look up really quick and I would see the shadow of somebody. At one time, I thought it was my grandpa pulling a joke on me because it had this figure of a man. It was during the daytime, kind of rainy and cloudy out, but he had a hat on, kind of like a fedora, like my grandpa would sometimes wear. I even ran outside. I was probably 6, looking all over for him, because as soon as I turned to look at him, I yelled, "Grandpa Ernie," and the head went down. As I grew older, I always preferred the company of adults to listen to and talk to. And during the 60s, there were a lot of small business owners. And my dad had his own real estate business and had a lot of friends who had their own real estate businesses too. They would get together and on weekends, and all the families would. And I was usually the only girl in our age group. So I would find myself gravitating towards the women and the talks that they were having. My mom, one night, I was probably 12 or 13, and I was sitting off the sides of, I wasn't interfering with them, and they'd send me out to play with the boys. But my mom was telling the story about, it was the eve of my dad's birthday, and she had woke up to see him sitting on the edge of the bed next to her. And her side of the bed faced the wall where there were two dressers and there was a large mirror there. And she said to my dad, "Jim, what's wrong?" Because she said he just sat there and kept staring off into the mirror. And he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't acknowledge her. She asked him again, "Jim, what's wrong? Is there something wrong?" Which at that point, my dad stood up and walked towards the dressers. He stood there a few minutes. She thought he was doing something with something on the dresser. And she said he walked forward and went into the mirror, which just took her breath away. And when she turned over, my dad was laying there the whole time, entire time. At this point of her telling the group of ladies that this happened, and this is probably 1968, 69, one of the other ladies gasped, and her name was Judy also. And she said, "Oh my God." And she had just turned completely white. And she said that had just happened several months ago with her husband, Conrad. And she said he was doing the same thing. He was in the bedroom, standing in front of a mirror in their bedroom. She spoke to him, asked him what he was doing, again repeated what she had said, and he walked towards the mirror and just disappeared. She fell over to the side of the bed, and when she turned over, he was laying next to her also. I've always been intrigued and fascinated by that story. Since that day, or that evening really, I have never looked in the mirror at nighttime. I've always been frightened. I too am very strange about mirrors and antique ones. My grandmother had one in a antique vanity that I used to, at 3 and 4, just stand and stare at and make up songs and sing. It entranced me. So with age and the internet and hearing these stories and podcasts that you so kindly put out, I wonder, you know, what these shadow people are, why they would have walked towards the mirror and have disappeared into the mirror. Why, I know why they, over centuries, have covered mirrors when someone has passed, and find very, very interesting. The shadow people, I've always understood them to not necessarily be of a good nature, which I find interesting to hear others say that they don't think that there's anything frightening about them. I didn't have anything frightening happen with them, but I just find it a fascinating subject on both counts. I would love to call back with other stories. I've had phone calls from heaven, and my son, when he was on a mission in Afghanistan, what happened with that? And there are, our loved ones are around us, and it is a gift to know that. Have a good evening. Bye.
I would love to. When she said phone call from heaven, I'm intrigued. I would love to hear that.
Me too.
The story about the mom and then Judy both having the same experience, it felt a little like something out of a creepy Stepford Wives type of Rosemary's Baby movie.
I thought the exact same thing. And because why are two people in the same town having this bizarrely same experience?
Exactly. Now, the only thing I could think was that her mom tells this creepy ass story that really happened to her. And mm-hmm. Judy is one of those people where, yeah, well, it happened to me too.
There is that. I mean, that actually crossed my mind as well, as Judy just is a little attention.
She's a one-upper. We all know that person. And it's like everybody was so fascinated by her mom's story that she's like, yeah, well, same thing happened to me. And my husband was sound asleep next to me and he tried to enter a mirror. I don't know what it was.
So much so that I have the same name as you. Like, I even made up that I even have your same name.
My name is Judy, too, just like you.
Yeah, I'm Judy.
Nobody actually knew her. She just was new to the coffee that night or whatever.
Yeah.
She got invited for the first time.
It's so funny because I'm listening to her talk and I thought, you know, we used to do the same thing as kids. Like, try to sit outside of the circle and maybe even just in the other room so we could listen to them talk.
Oh, of course.
What do you think about this story? Now, I agree that I'm all about avoiding mirrors at night.
Like, well, I see why after hearing that she does. Hell yeah.
I can remember as a kid living in a haunted house and being scared to death to brush my teeth and look into the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just knew if I looked up, something would be there behind me. So I know that feeling. Like, mirrors are frightening. I have a hard time still to this day at night and looking into a mirror. Not as bad as it used to be, but it still crosses my mind.
I don't feel like that at my house, but I have been to different places like hotels or different mm-hmm. people's houses where I do get that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then there's other mirrors that make you feel more so that way. I don't know what to say about the other woman having the same story. I think that might be weird.
Well, I don't know how you explain that. It's two different houses.
I don't have an explanation for that at all. It feels very, like you said, weirdly Stepford Wives.
Yeah, it's a combination of like a Rosemary's Baby, Stepford Wives type of era movie.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of reminds
me of.
But
if we just take the mom story, okay?
Leave Judy out of it.
Let's take Judy out of the scenario for a second, because I feel like I can talk more about just the mom and what she saw. So her husband is actually asleep beside her, but she wakes up, right? This is not a dream. She wakes up, she sees her husband sitting kind of on the side of mm-hmm. the bed, acting catatonic. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't, she's talking to him. She's saying, what are you doing? I don't like the way you look. You're creeping me out. You know, all the things. And then he just gets up, walks towards the dresser and into the mirror.
Yeah.
Okay. She rolls over. He's still there. Okay. Now, I probably would have sat up. Okay. But she just rolled over. Either way, you're going to see him. I'm questioning that it was actually him or somebody or something that took his look.
Well, here's the thing, too. In the middle of the night, you wake up to see an apparition. It's a man at the foot of your bed. It is your husband, because there's no other man that should be in the house, and it's dark. So I could see how you would assume that's your husband.
Okay.
Because you're not going to see him that well. It's dark.
Or is something mimicking the look of your husband?
I don't think you can tell because it's dark in a room. I could just see her waking up. That's my husband. He's sitting right there. Looks like my husband, about the same size as my husband. It all happens so fast. that. I just think you would assume it's your husband. I don't know that it's a doppelganger thing, but it's definitely a shadow person thing.
Well, or I have said this before, and I still truly believe it, that I think sometimes we project what we think it is.
Well, exactly. Like, yeah, because she woke up in the middle of the night, man there. Who else could it be? It's her husband.
It's her husband, right? You just project it. You know, our brains want to go the quickest path to resolve anything. And it's Bill, right? What else would it be? So there's that. Sometimes I think something very scary could be there and your brain compensates by putting something in its place, mm-hmm. right? So I think there's different things our own brains can do to kind of cover it up. I think it was a bizarre, weird shadow figure that went into the mirror.
Exactly.
It wasn't her husband.
No, it never was her husband. Ever. He's laying right there next to her.
Right. I mean, I don't think there's a part of Bill that's separating off and going to visit this other world or something, you know, like a Wrinkle in Time kind of thing going on or whatever. I don't think that we have that kind of stuff going on. I think she saw a shadow person, assumed it was Bill or projected onto this thing. It was him. I'm calling him Bill. I don't know what his name was. And then the thing got up and went and got in the mirror.
Well, yeah, that's been established. I don't know why. I don't know why she saw what she saw. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how Judy sees the same thing.
Well, here's the creepier part. This could be happening nightly, a couple times a week. This thing comes out of the mirror, goes around the house. This just happened to be the time she woke up and saw it.
Could be. Could be a haunted mirror. It could be a haunted house. It could be a one-time thing.
Yeah, and we have... this is Sue, right? I think it's Sue from Springfield. She says she's been seeing shadow figures in the house or in the garage or around. So I think whatever this is coming out. It's going around. It's doing stuff and then it's going back into the mirror. I don't think this is an isolated incident, or it was.
Well, and then there's Judy, like me too.
Judy.
So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that, you know, and if that is happening, you know, do they live close by? I do have some questions that only Judy and Judy can answer.
Judy and Judy can answer.
It's very complicated.
There's a weird voodoo hex spell on Judy's from Springfield at this time.
I just think that's strange.
I do too.
This next story is kind of a little strange, like, that there's kind of some similarities here, yet they're very different. So this one says, my name is Michaela. When I was growing up, my family lived in a house in Akron, Ohio. We moved in when I was 16. Everything was completely normal. If someone had asked me back then if the house was haunted, I would have laughed. Looking back, though, whatever happened only lasted maybe a couple of weeks. The house itself wasn't unusual. My parents loved it. It had enough room for all of us. My bedroom was upstairs at the end of the hallway. My little sister's room was directly across from mine. She was 7 years old at the time. So there was a pretty big age difference between us. I loved her to death, but I was 16. I wanted my own space while she wanted to be wherever I was. The first time something happened, I got out of bed to use the bathroom. As I stepped into the hallway, I thought I saw someone near the top of the stairs. My first thought, it was my dad. It happened so quickly that I didn't even stop to think about it. I took another step into the hallway, looked again, there was no one there. I stood there for a few seconds listening, expecting to hear footsteps downstairs or a bedroom door close, but the whole house was quiet. It scared me enough that I hurried back to my room. But by the next morning, I had completely convinced myself I must have been half asleep and imagined it. A few nights later, it happened again. I was still awake, reading before turning out my light, when I happened to glance toward my open bedroom door. This is a good reason why you don't leave your door open. Once again, I got that same feeling that someone was standing in the hallway. I looked up and then I didn't see anything there, but it bothered me a lot more than the first time because now it had happened twice. That time, though, she didn't see anything. It just, I guess that was just a feeling.
Yeah, but you know, it's creepy to feel like somebody's watching you in your bed.
And suddenly, that came on very suddenly. Yeah. She's fine, then boom. Then it happened one more time, same hallway, split second where I was convinced somebody was standing there. And that really shook me. I remember lying awake afterward thinking I should probably tell my parents, but every time I imagined saying the words out loud, they sounded ridiculous. I kept telling myself there had to be an explanation and that I was letting my imagination get away from me. I decided if it happened again, I would say something, but I never got the chance. A couple of nights later, we were sitting around the dinner table when my little sister asked if she could sleep in my room that night. My mom asked if she'd been having bad dreams. She shook her head. Dad said, "Have you not been feeling good?" Again, she said no. Finally, she said, "Why do you want to sleep with your sister?" She looked around the table, almost like she couldn't believe she had to explain it. And she said she didn't like the man who kept standing in her doorway at night. My parents looked very confused. Dad asked her, "What man?" She said, "The man who came after everyone goes to bed." Mom said, "Well, what does he do?" And my sister just shrugged. "Nothing, he just stands there." She wasn't crying. She wasn't super upset. She wasn't trying to tell a scary story. She just sounded confused. And really confused that none of us seemed to know what she was talking about. I don't remember much after that because my mind was racing. Up until then, I'd been trying to convince myself I had imagined everything I had seen. Hearing my little sister describe a man standing in her doorway made every hair on my arm stand up. My sister slept with me that night. The next afternoon, she was out riding her bike while my parents were in the kitchen. I remember standing there for a minute trying to decide whether to say anything. Finally, I said I wanted to talk to them, but I didn't want my sister to hear it. I told them about the three times over the last couple of weeks that I thought I had seen someone standing in the upstairs hallway. I admitted I hadn't said anything because I thought I'd been imagining it. But after what my sister had said the night before, I didn't think I could keep talking myself out of it anymore. My dad reacted just like you would expect. He didn't start talking about ghosts or anything like that. He wanted to make sure there wasn't an actual person getting into the house sometime. So that evening, he checked every window, every door, the basement, the attic, even walked around outside with a flashlight. Everything was locked up tight. My mom let my sister keep sleeping in my room for the next several nights, and then it just stopped. My sister decided she wanted to sleep in her own room again. Neither of us ever mentioned seeing the man after that. We lived in that house a couple more years. Nothing else happened. The house never felt different before those couple of weeks, and it never felt different afterward. My parents never had any experiences, at least that they told us about, and my sister and I never saw the man again. Even though it was over, it stayed with me for a long time. For months after that, if I woke up in the middle of the night, I wouldn't leave my room. If I needed a drink of water, I waited until morning. If I had to use the bathroom, I would lie there, trying to convince myself I could wait until daylight. I'm in my 40s now. My sister and I have talked about it as adults. Our memories have never changed. She still remembers asking to sleep in my room because of the man who stood in her doorway. I still remember sitting at that dinner table realizing she had just described what I had been seeing. Thank you for taking the time to read my story. All the best to you. Love the show. And I'm not sure who wrote that in.
Michaela from...
Oh, and it was at the beginning, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is interesting because it is kind of like the other story. They both see a very similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting that everything's fine in the house. Weird things happen. Everything's fine. So what if, here's just a random theory.
Okay.
What if, you know, a little bit older house, have no idea. A lot of houses mm-hmm. are older. Like somebody who had lived in that house before, loved the house, and moved out for whatever reason, maybe that person passed away and he went back to the house.
You absolutely read my mind. That is exactly really? What I was thinking too. Yep. Because it just felt like somebody came back. You know, I always say there's that little window when somebody passes away that I believe that oftentimes their spirit is still here for a little bit. And it took him back to the house. Maybe they'd raised their family there. You know, he wanted to go back and see it. Maybe he, you know, was confused, thought he was still living there, went back and, you know, was there off and on for a few days and then gone.
And, you know, I think you would maybe, if you can go back, like that was probably a place that he would have loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that mm-hmm. was his house and he belonged there, you know, raised the family. Maybe he was raised in the house. I don't know. But it was a place that he loved. And he wanted to be there one more time. That kind of makes some sense to me.
Well, and similar in the story I was telling about the colleague that died, that, you know, you pass away, you can touch some people, go back and you know, kind of touch them before you pass on. Or in this case, go back to the house that you loved.
Yeah. And it doesn't surprise me the kids would see it, but not the parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's exactly what happened. And that would explain why it didn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back. He sees another family there. Okay, the house has moved on. It's seeming loved. It seems like it's a good family. I'm good with this. And then gone.
And, you know, it wasn't like she was constantly experiencing it. It was two nights she thought she saw something super fast. Mm-hmm. One night, everything's fine, reading a book or whatever. Boom, so she feels like somebody's outside the bedroom door.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's, I mean, it's creepy, but at the same time, it could have been kind of a beautiful thing.
That's what I think happened too. I'm with you 100% that's interesting. On that.
Well, yay us for figuring that out, solving the mystery. Well, if you have a real ghost story, let us hear about it. Call it in. Leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, wherever you are listening, you can just hit subscribe. We would appreciate that. And you can also become a premium subscriber. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.